Holy Ghost. Y'all feeling good? I just love a good old glory meeting, man. I don't know about you, man, but just, hey, we don't really know what's going on, but we're with God, you know? We're with Jesus. We know it's good. We know it's good. Yeah, we just, these Sunday nights, we're going to start doing them like every Sunday and just kind of sensing a little. Just times of worship and just sitting in the glory together, you know. So, ha. There's just nothing like interacting in heaven on earth with a group of people. Just all the freedom that comes, you know. Just the liberation in His presence, you know. It's like we're walking in the presence every moment of every day. Amen. But when you're together, like, there's something special, like, where two or three are gathered together in the name, just acknowledging the name of Jesus. And so, you know, if you came in and your body needs healed, just take it, you know? I just like moving around a little bit in the glory, just noticing that you feel even better. You know, your joints move better, your organs are like, just in the cloud, you know, as we come. I love worship because it's like, worship doesn't get you anything, but it sets your eyes on what you already have and who you are and who He is. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's what reality is. Oh, there we are. So, and we just begin to enjoy Him together, you know? So, most of these nights, we probably won't have preaching, but maybe once in a while we will. I really don't know what we're going to do every time. Just want to get together and drink of Jesus. But I did have a message tonight. I just wanted to share with y'all, if you don't mind. Anybody still like hearing the gospel, hearing the word of Jesus? Holy, holy, ha. If you have a Bible, you can get one out. We love our Bibles. I was listening to a message recently talking about hitting lines by lines off your Bible, man. Line by line. Am I right, Nate Dickerson? Oh, you're not here, but maybe you'll hear it later. Line by line. Ah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Line them up, dude. Let's do this. Let's do this. Glory. Wow, 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 wow. Is there reverb on this one, or is that just me? So, check. A little. Holy good. Well, I just wanted to share a little bit tonight on how your efforts are not necessary to be blessed. You know, if anything, our hearts are so filled as we hear the finished works, you know, as we continue to feast on the gospel of His finished work. And so, I mean, it still works for me. I just want to keep banging it, man. Just keep sha-la-la-la-la-la-la doing lines. So, you know, because it still can be so easy to, like, just receive other pressure-based, performance-based messages, you know, creeping in to whatever it may be, you know, whether it's, you know, just, I don't even know. I don't know where it comes from, but but your efforts are not necessary to live blessed. I mean, how many of us still feel like sometimes, like, we're being held back, or like we're getting stuck, or like we're not getting it? You're like, you're not getting it. I don't even know what that means, but like you're not living fully blessed or something. You know, there's just these, I think everybody encounters areas where they feel like, you know, I'm not connecting there, or, you know, why is this, you know, why is the fullness of heaven not flowing in this area, you know? But, I just want to give us good news that it's not, you know, your efforts are not necessary It's not because you're not doing something right. I was just meditating on forgiveness this week again, you know, just the beauty of forgiveness. A lot of times I'm preaching on how this kingdom is so much more than just forgiveness, right? Like, a lot of the church is just preaching like, well, you're forgiven and that's about it, you know. Then best you can do is just kind of move on and hope, like, someday things will get better. But at the same time, I mean, we know the gospel is so much more than that, right? So much more rich, so much more full. Ha! So much more in the feast. But I think a lot of times we even just overlook forgiveness. Like, what does forgiveness actually mean? And even in that context of where you sometimes feel like you're not getting it or whatever, you feel like you're, you know, you're lacking something or something isn't flowing in your life. Like, why is the fullness of these blessings not flowing in my life? But it's obviously not something that God is withholding. And it's obviously not something that you've done to stop God's blessing. Because when we look at the cross, we see the worst day of humanity. I just want to meditate on the cross again. Just look at the cross. Look at the fullness of his blessing poured out on the cross when we were at our worst. When we were having our worst day, his arms are wide open. It's what I see every time I take communion now is what I love about the feast is it's the mystery of the remembrance that we killed God and yet he gave us a feast at the very moment, at the very time when we were destroying, when we were saying we don't want you, he's saying, here's the fullness of who I am. And he says at that very moment on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. At that moment when, when we're at our worst, the blessing still flows. And this is what gives me confidence, you know, that this is why the preaching of the cross is still so freaking amazing and so relevant, to like stare at the cross to see that we have an eternal reference point throughout history that says when you're at your worst, your efforts are obviously not necessary because I was blessing you when you were doing the exact opposite of your efforts. When your efforts led you to a place where you just wanted to kill God. the very opposite. Ah, it's so juicy. So freaking juicy, dude, this revelation of Jesus. Just feel it wafting through the room. The revelation of Jesus tonight. Hey. Just loosening up your heart. That, like we were singing, he came. He was the apple that we thought we had to reach out and grab. We thought we had to climb towards. And at that very moment when we're at our worst, he's saying, forgive them. You know, I think so many of us still feel like there's some sort of curse. You know, maybe there's a curse over our life in some area where we didn't behave, or our forefathers didn't behave, or you know, there's still some remnant. But that's what I love. Like, if when we were at our worst, killing God, he's saying, Father, forgive them. At what other point would he be cursing? You know what I mean? Like, at what other point, at what time of day, at what period of your life would there be shakalaka, a place where he's withholding, where you're missing out? He said, forgiven. He said, forgive them for they don't know. You know, sometimes you feel like you don't know why you're not getting it. You know what I mean? You're like, well, there's some area of lack and I'm not even sure what I'm doing. That's actually the worst, like, feeling. Some of you have never been strivers like I was, but that point where you're like, I don't even know why something's not breaking through. Listen, he said, all of that is just the confused illusion of the striving mindset, of the efforts mindset, because he said, you're totally forgiven even when you know not what you do, even and especially when you know not what you do. Like, nothing is held against you. And I don't know, just maybe some of us, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's like, you just need to meditate on forgiveness. You know, I was just getting that, like, just the power of what it means to be forgiven. Like, nothing held against you, like, no record, like, no there's no ability, like, you know, of God to hold anything back from you. And at that same time, I think this, you know, Jesus saying, Father, forgive them at the cross is eliminates the picture that so many of us have had of this schizophrenic God, this double-minded God. And I feel like, you know, especially those of us that grew up in Christianity, we preach unconditional love. I mean, almost every preacher will tell you it's all about unconditional love, right? But then if you wait till later in their message or into the next sermon or 10 messages later, however long, it's the other shoe drops a lot of times. You know, and people, we don't realize it for the most part. Like, no one's trying to preach conditional love. But then we say, and here's, you know, you're loved unconditionally. You're forgiven completely. But here's what you need to do to be blessed. And that seems to make sense to the old mindset. But that's what I'm back to the cross where he says, you know, where we're at our worst, the heart of God is wide open to us fully, where heaven and earth are actually one. All the blessings of heaven are touching earth, are united with earth at our worst moment. So all of these conditional promises or these steps, these things that we need to include or whatever that we're missing out on, the cross speaks against all that once and for all. The cross once and for all removes that schizophrenic, or the bipolar God, you know, like the God that's up sometimes but down on others, you know, or whatever, or the hidden side of God, the hidden face of God, you know, or God is love, brother, but also God is, and then try to balance it out. Well, we need a little bit of balance. Some of you guys are learning about balance. That's what I'll tell you. No. You cannot balance love with what? Hate? It's like saying you want to balance truth with lies. What are we balancing? But there's a detox of our hearts, dude, coming out from this picture of, you know, because we've all known conditional promises and we've all believed that somehow, you know, in this world, so many things depend on our performance or whatever. But when it comes to God, who is the source of the true world, the true world we can live in, there is no double-mindedness. Like, even if you're at your worst, the blessings are still flowing. This is where we want to rest. This is how we rest, right? There's even a lot of people that are preaching the rest. Like, the secret to a heavenly life is rest. Well, that's true. There's truth there. There's a lot of truth there. But you can't let your heart rest when you still have remnants of a bipolar God. Your rest is an equivalent to how much you realize your whole life is taken care of, that you're utterly cared for, that we're completely, that there's no chance that the blessings are getting withheld, that there's no doubt in our heart about our efforts being required. Our efforts are not necessary to live blessed. But this rest is automatic when you see who Jesus is, when we see who God is. Like, worry becomes like a foreign language, you know. Stress becomes a foreign language. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Shala. I really believe the pinnacle. I love, you know, studying different chapters of the Bible or studying different books or whatever. And the book of Romans is like one of the big theological books, right? That people argue about all the time or whatever. So many things in Romans. But I feel like the Lord showed me one time, Romans is like there's like a mountaintop, and at the pinnacle of the mountain of Romans is Romans 8. It's like eight chapters up and eight chapters down. And as you get to Romans 8:37, which is really like the very center of the book, it says, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present, things to come, powers, nor height or depth or anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So good. But even in that verse, you know, anything separating us from the love of God, a lot of people would say, well, nothing separates us from the love of God. You know, but God just sends people to hell forever out of love. Wait, like, how do you reconcile those two things? Like, what does the love of God mean? I really believe, you know, it's like we talked about recently. I did a series on grace. The love of God is the grace of God expressed. The love of God is that he gives without condition. He just gives and gives. You know, maybe in the book of Job, it says he gives and takes away. But in the book of Jesus, he says he gives and gives. That this love is just continual giving. It's just continual generosity. Amen. Whoa. That right now he's lavishing blessing on us. Like, ah. That in all these things we are more than conquerors. That God is for us. That there is no hidden side of God waiting for you to perform to get blessed. Waiting for you to even get the revelation. That's what's so great about one of the things I love so much about like our friends Francois and different ones that have taught. It's not what you're believing about God, but it's what he believes about you. That we could come to a rest knowing that it's not even us getting the revelation. You know what I mean? Like sometimes the mind will want to turn anything into another work. You're like, well, I know I don't have to do efforts, but I know I have to believe, you know, when we turn faith into a work. Or I know I just need to get more revelation, and we turn revelation into a work. Or I just need to get more awareness, and now awareness is the work. Whatever thing that you know, the old performance-based mindset, the old, you know, schizophrenic picture of God will point us back to, like, you just need to believe more, bro. You just need to, whatever it is, more. You know, and but look at these, you know, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the generosity, from the giving, from the abundance. Nothing can separate us. And then the mind's always like, but what about this? But what about that? Just let the buts fall away, man. Just let it literally, like, this is what we're still waking up from, is this picture that's like, well, but then I guess we got to yield more or something. We just got to submit. There's always some word that, like, sounds like, you know what I mean? It's not an effort, bro. It's not by efforts. It's just by yielding. And then yielding becomes an effort. Well, it's just by submitting more to the Holy Spirit. Like, in Christ, we see the God that just gives. That you are the object of his affection forever. That we are, you know, put it in the family picture. Like, the healthy parents just want to give to their children. They just give to them. Sure, there might be times of discipline, but they're still not withholding love. And they're definitely not torturing them or keeping back blessing from their life. Or your beloved, you know, your spouse, you just want to shower blessing on them. You just want to shower it. I don't need to yield to my spouse. It's such a weird language. You know what I mean? Yield. When we start to think in those ways, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, are we enemies? I don't get it. Like, if I'm yielding to them, you know, I just need to believe more. It's like, she's right there. We're one. You know, there's just all this language. But, you know, even if we forget, even if we are completely faithless, he remains faithful. You know, even on the days when, you know, we're like, man, I definitely am going to, like, grieve God away from my life for what I just did. Like, he's like, no, do you remember the cross? Like, this isn't worse than you trying to kill me. Yeah. Now, okay, I want to kind of turn the corner in the message here because I kind of had like two parts, but this kind of unconditional like love does mess with so many paradigms, so many views, so many our worldview. It can mess with our worldview, and it can actually, it's funny, dude. I've literally heard people say this, even in the, well, I'll just, this is kind of semi-related, but even in like the hell debate, you hear people say, well, if there's no hell, then why should we even preach the gospel? Which is such a crazy thought. Like, I'm not even giving a teaching on hell right now, okay? Like, don't worry, I'm not saying that hell is real or isn't real right now. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you have a mindset where you need hell in order to make it worth preaching the gospel, that's so weird. Like, as if the only good news would be that God's not going to torture you forever. Or like, here's the good news. You have a really loving father who is going to torture you, and now he's not. Like, if that's the essence of your gospel, then I've got something way better. We've got something way better than that, dude. But in the same way, without even just talking about hell, just talking about life here, because what I'm kind of titling this message was that your efforts are not necessary to live blessed, to live in the fullness, to walk in fullness. Like, we are seated right now in this room in so much freaking fullness of glory. Just let some out for a second, man. You guys are pretty quiet, I'll tell you that. Just let a little bit of glory out for a minute, you know? La, la, la. Or he said the obligatory oi, oi, oi. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. If we're preaching an unconditional fullness, an unconditional glory, some people are concerned that people will lose their motivation. And it is a valid point, because I actually have heard seen, which is crazy to me. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I have seen some people like get into the finished works and realize it's all finished. And then, so all of a sudden they like stop all spirituality at all and just go to like drinking beer and playing video games all day. And they're like, well, it's all finished. You know, before they were like pressing in and they were actually like seeing some miracles and they were praying for people, they were serving in their community, and they were, you know, people were getting blessed through their life. And then now they heard the gospel, and now all they do is smoke weed and sit in their basement. There are some people that like, but and really, you know, and I've said this before, you know, it's kind of like the prodigal son. The prodigal son was raised in such like blessing and such like the lap of the father's love. And some people will say, well, that, you know, the father shouldn't have been so unconditionally loving. Now, look, you've raised a pansy of a child. Yeah. I mean, that's what they'll tell you today, too. It's like, you were too loving of a parent. You spoiled your child, and now it's your fault that they're out doing what the prodigal son was doing, right? Like, you could literally look at that parable and blame the father for being so kind. And that's what people are afraid of right now. But I think you all are kind of picking up the revelation already. You've already got the idea, but there's a shallow revelation of grace that when you just are beginning to see the goodness of God, but you're not getting a full picture of like how amazing the heavenly life is. How, you know, if you're like, well, I see that God's going to bless me no matter what, and you just get a little bit of a picture of it, you're like, that's cool. I'm going to live. I'm not worried about hell anymore. I'm not worried about like being cursed. Now I'm just going to go and do like stuff, you know, stuff like everybody else in the world does. And I think that's an initial picture of it. But as we look deeper, that's like a shallow picture of the fullness of what it would be like to live in the Father's house. Because later on in the parable of the prodigal son, he sees like there's no better place to live than in the Father's house. Like, and God gives us that, you know, that that room to go out and experiment. In fact, I think maybe a lot of this whole entire life, these 6,000 years of history for humanity, has just been the opportunity for humans to kind of go on their own prodigal son experience. Like we needed to learn for ourselves that the all the other options are like pig slop, you know, because otherwise we would have just been, you know, controlled robots, not freely like knowing the difference or the options, not freely appreciating. You know, you even read, I wasn't going to go here, but you read in Romans, later in Romans, what is it, like chapter 10, where he said God's actually bound everyone over into disobedience that he might have mercy on them all. And how amazing is it, you know, he says, oh, the riches of the wisdom and the depths of the knowledge of God, for from him and to him and through him are all things, to him be the glory forever. That'll send you on a whole trip. But I think it's a good trip to go on to see how God's not in a hurry, and a lot of us are just learning stuff for ourselves, you know. That doesn't mean that the message needs to change. Some people might hear this good news message, and at first they haven't really quite grasped it, and they might say, well, hey, hell's not motivating me. Fear, all fear is gone. Now they're not afraid, and they just go experiment and make some bad choices. But that's okay. That's not like God's ultimate, but in a sense, that, you know, you are actually free in Christ. Like you are completely, when he says it is for freedom that you're set free, a lot of Christians will be like, well, yeah, that's freedom, you know, freedom to do God's will. Well, yes, but it's actually complete freedom too, to do anything. Ultimately, you'll see that it was unto, you know, living in God's will for you. Does this make sense? I kind of like just, but when we see the full picture, you know, when we see how great are the blessings that he's giving us, see, some people are like, well, you know, you need to mix this love in with a little bit of fear, you know, just to keep people a little bit motivated, or they won't be motivated. But that's the scandal. Like, is this love actually enough to, like, keep us, to really motivate us to the point where, you know, there's a lot of people, they were like, well, I was faithful in giving. I gave my tithe when I was under law, but now I'm free. And they don't give anything anymore. They're, like, not generous. You know, they're just like, I'm so free, I can use my money on myself now. This is awesome. And I think that might initially happen at first. You're kind of like, hey, the fear motivator isn't gone, but you haven't quite grasped the fullness of the love motivator. And there's that temptation to kind of go back to mixture. But I just wanted to say tonight, like, continuing to see who we are in heaven on earth, blessed, completely unconditionally blessed, is enough. And keep drinking it, man. Just allow yourself to keep drinking, because I really believe that this unconditional love is enough. Like, we don't need to mix fear back into it. We don't need to say, you know, I'll just bring up another scripture, for example. I've been meditating on this one recently, where Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? That one can almost make it seem conditional again if you look at it like at surface value. You're like, well, you only get all the blessings if you are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, then it's the only way you're going to get the blessings. But there's so many passages like that. I'll probably do a series soon on my Facebook, just going through, I feel like going through random passages that confuse people, because there's so many. When you look at them at face value, they can look confusing. But he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I've just been looking at it recently and seeing it says, his kingdom and his righteousness. And just how amazing, like, just that little turn of the passage. Like, so many times people just think of it as the kingdom and righteousness. Like, basically, it ends up being, like, try to be righteous and try to get into the kingdom of God as much as you can. But what if that passage was saying just, behold, his, like, basically Jesus, like, behold Jesus in the fact that he's brought his kingdom and he's given the gift of righteousness, and all of a sudden you start walking in all these things. Like a total flip from this attempt to try to get blessed, you know? And I really believe, guys, that as we are transformed by simply basking in this unconditional love, like, it is more than enough to make us more zealous than those that were just trying to seek out some kingdom. There's actually way more, like, overflowing life that begins to spring up in our soul when we realize I'm always going to be loved and always going to be blessed. You know, like, there's more zeal from love than from fear. There's more passion for his kingdom from this love place, from this place of unconditionally being blessed. That is bursting out of you, that does burst out of you. That if anything, man, I just, with any of our little attempts here to preach the good news, may we be a place that's just saying, we love because he first loved us. Just be loved. Like, come here and just bask and bask in that unconditional blessing. I think, you know, even there's times where I just check my own mindset because, like, you know, we want to see so much manifestation that it can be so easy to just slip back into some sort of attempts to make the manifestation happen, to feel pressure to manifest heaven. But it's his kingdom. It's his righteousness. He's never needed help. He's single-handedly the Savior of the world. Jesus, still the Savior of the world, not us. We're in union with Jesus. We are fully empowered, but it's never going to rely on our efforts. It's never going to rely on our positioning and our yielding and our attempts to manifest more. But as we see this great, you know, gift, and as we see it in fullness, that it's not just, well, you know, I'm not going to be cursed anymore, but not just what we're saved from, but we begin to see all the fullness of what we're saved into. When we see that we are saved from ourselves, even, when we see that we're completely set free from even our ego, from pride, we were set free from all of that, then his kingdom and his righteousness will, you know, burst forth with passion and zeal. We will love to pray for the sick. We'll love to, you know, worship, and we're just these our heavenly identity, we will be exploding out of us. We'll love generosity. Like, there's a place, dude, where we're gonna be giving away so much so radically, dude. We're gonna be so radically generous, you know. The tithe will seem like a joke. Like we were given a 10%, now I'm given 90-some percent, you know. Whoa. But it's not gonna come through any sort of yielding or trying to get, it's simply just letting him love us. Just letting the blessings come, like letting, allowing him to keep, you know, opening his heart up, just like he did on the cross. It's never ending. The cross was just a demonstration once and for all to show us when we're at our worst, he's like that. But he's always like that. He's always pouring out, pouring forth, you know. And then his kingdom and his righteousness will more and more be the only things we want to talk about, the only things we want to be about, the only things we're going to be manifesting. We're like, dude, I want to serve, I want to bless, I want to. That's how the want to happens rather than the have to. Whoa, you're so good, Jesus. You're so good. You make us want righteousness. Because you've filled us with your righteousness. We meditate on your kingdom and your righteousness. We desire this. We like this. We want it. And we're in it. Whoa. See that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophies. Knowing how good he's been to us and how fulfilling his kingdom really is in fullness. I think that's what we're discovering, you know. That's, if anything, that we're growing in. It's not in submitting more to him or yielding more or having more faith. It's simply just knowing how fulfilling his kingdom is. Knowing how it's the best. It is the best, dude. Yes, right. We love passionately because he loved passionately, because we're feeling his passionate love over us. He carries us day in and day out. Just let him ravish us again tonight, you know. the ravishing come in, you know. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Yeah, just put your hand on somebody and say, you're ravished. let him ravish you again. Ravished and lavished. Ravished and lavished, man. So, dancing with the lover of our souls through a playground that where he's provided all, where there's abundance everywhere we look. If it hasn't felt like abundance, it's all right now. It's abundance. You know what I mean? Just like don't get caught up in all the reasons why you think this didn't work or that didn't work. All the reasons end at the cross. You know what I mean? I resolve to know nothing. Paul said, I desired to know nothing when I was with you. I resolved, there's the word. I resolved to know nothing when I was among you. But this cross, the mystic cross. Dude, I so desire to see more and more people going into mystic revelations of the cross. You know, the juicy, I mean, I love the mystic realm. But it's this, it's like someone said, I don't want to just preach the cross. I want to preach the cross aright. I don't want to just see the cross. I want to see it as it is. I don't want to just talk about this Jesus that's kind of a schizophrenic Jesus, you know, that it's like some people pit Jesus against the Father, you know, even at the cross. Like the Father was the one that was angry and Jesus is the one that was kind. But the Bible says that the Father was in Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world. That this mystic revelation we keep feasting on. And so we're going to keep doing little, you know, Sunday night worship gatherings and stuff in here. It's going to be fun. We're going to linger. But we're not going to come to try to press in or try to make anything happen. I want to encourage you to just come and just bask, revel in how blessed you already are, revel in how the experiences are already flowing in your life, like just see yourself seated at the right hand of the Father in all the glory, myriads of angels, myriads on myriads. We have come to the mountain of the living God. Seeing ourselves in heaven on earth and just experiencing that together. And in all our community life, like we're not fixing one another. We're not teaching each other how to get more blessed. We're simply basking in the good news. We're basking in freaking good news. Amen? Really, really good news. If it doesn't feel good, it's not the gospel. There is no bad news. There's no hidden bad news in there. There's no God is love, but brother, God is also something else. Love, only love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just feel like God's saying we don't need to get our act together. He's not trying to get anybody's act together tonight. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. Just let your awareness be flooded right now. Thank you, Lord. You need a healing, Sam? You get hurt? Are you feeling hurt? Lord, thank you for healing Sam's knee in Jesus' name. Wow, 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 wow. Hey. Just let our awareness be flooded with that unconditional heaven. yeah, 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 yeah. I just feel like he's detoxing some of us too from spiritual attempts. Just let your being be cleansed from the, you know, I just been reminded recently how many charismatic Christians end up in the loony bin. I really think, dude, a lot of it is from these attempts, these spiritual attempts to try to, like, encounter really powerful things in God. And when you're already there, instead of just going with the flow, there's so much pressure even in the church to perform. It's like to be spiritual. And I just feel like, isn't there such a wonderful rest when you get out of that? You know what I mean? Like, because we're still a community that loves manifestations of the glory. We love Holy Spirit. But in the midst of that, and especially we attract lots, you know, bright lights attract strange bugs, you know. We attract that, and I thank him for it. No, and we want to be that, but at the same time, there's in a lot of the manifestation circles, there creeps in this pressure to always have a better story, to always come up with something, you know. You always feel like you need to be spiritual. And it's so easy when someone shares an amazing testimony that really happened to them to start comparing yourself and say, I wish I was like David Hogan and Heidi Baker, you know, instead of being yourself. And in a lot of churches, they wouldn't need to hear about this, but you people, no, but I feel it myself because I've encouraged so many people to go on this, you know, that there is so many amazing mystical encounters in the Lord. There is. There's so much more than just walking conscious of the five senses. Yeah. But there's no pressure, and there's no, your efforts are not necessary to make this happen. Your intensity, hallelujah, my intensity is not needed with intensity. With a much intensity, it's not necessary. It's a little Bill Murray reference in the glory. But as we hear of just how much he's given, as we know what's available, stuff will happen to you, I promise. You know, some people are like, well, it's not happening fast enough. I haven't raised 10 people from the dead yet. Like, I was supposed to have raised 10 people from the dead by now. Yeah, and it's so easy to go into that, you know. Listen, we've got billions and billions of years to manifest stuff. Like, stop measuring yourself. It's not a contest. It's not a measuring contest. Thank you, Jesus. But at the same time, this knowing this unconditional blessing will only produce more passion in your heart, I guarantee it. As you rest, as you let yourself fully, fully let go into that, knowing, you know, fully abandoned to the gospel, it doesn't disappoint. Am I right? It doesn't disappoint. Your life might not be filled with quite as many stories as you had before because half of those were made up by your weird spiritual charismatic psychosis. But when you have an experience, it will feel genuine. It will be so rich. You know what I mean? Like, anyways, it's just a random bunny trail on it. But it's so good, dude. It's so good. Let's just close. I'll just close with a little prayer. Maybe just stand up with me if you feel like it. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Shiri abamboro kalala mamala sha. We just thank you, Lord, for the free gift. We thank you, Lord, for how generous you are in our lives. How really generous you are. How you hold nothing back. How we're truly not lacking a thing tonight, God. Yeah. And we do expect all kinds of crazy experiences and blessings and favor and miracles, Holy Ghost, in our midst and all of that. But Lord, we just thank you that it does not require our attempts, that our attempts have been destroyed, that our attempts were nullified once and for all at the cross. So we continue to just drink deeply, just receive deeply, like your kids, like the children that we are, just receiving inheritance, just receiving favor from our loved, beloved mama and papa. And yeah. Let that be our reality this week and every day, more and more and more and more and more. Because it is. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory. Yeah.